Hello and welcome to the Friday, July 24th, 2015 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Tipping Point earlier this week released four new Saturday vulnerabilities in Internet Explorer. Tipping Point's Saturday initiative has a policy to release details about flaws 120 days after the vendor was notified. So the 120 days were up and Tipping Point released the details about these flaws. Now, the details are not as detailed as like a proof of concept exploit, but they give you some idea where the problem happens. So they certainly could give hints to an attacker to exploit these flaws, even though I wouldn't call an exploit to be imminent in these cases. Now, all of these flaws do affect Microsoft Internet Explorer Mobile, not necessarily the desktop edition. Of course, there is a chance that the desktop edition is vulnerable as well, but that's not what the release here is about. These flaws were discovered last November during the Mobile Pwn to Own contest that Tipping Point sponsors. Not much you can do about it, in particular, of course, since it does affect the mobile platform, you're less likely to have another alternative browser installed on it. But, well, that's, of course, the obvious workaround here to not use Internet Explorer. But given that there is no actual exploit in the wild out there, I wouldn't panic at this point and just give Microsoft another month. And hopefully with our next patch Tuesday, we'll get a fix for these problems. And then we got a new paper outlining more virtual machine side channel attacks. These attacks typically happen if you have multiple virtual machines running on the same hardware, and then hardware optimization that's taking place as opcodes are being executed by the CPU that affect these different virtual machines. So how fast your code execute depends on what code another virtual machine executed before you. In these attacks, they took advantage of this using the Xen hypervisor, which did allow here in these proof of concept exploits to read crypto keys and the like from other virtual machines. Fundamentally, this problem does exist sort of in all virtualization technologies. Of course, they can prevent some of that by randomizing how code is fed to the CPU, but that usually then results in a performance hit, which of course people rather avoid. And yes, there are new updates for various Drupal modules and WordPress. Well, if you run these two packages, please take a look and make sure that you are up to date. Probably not worth spending a lot of time on these vulnerabilities anymore. And Qualys found an interesting privilege escalation flaw in Linux distributions that use libuser and user helper or changefn. These tools are usually used to allow a normal user to manipulate etc password. For example, you can change your own information in etc password. Now, many tools that manipulate etc password first create a backup copy, then change the backup copy, and then move that new version back over to etc password. User helper, however, does manipulate the file directly and may leave it in an inconsistent state, in particular if it's being accessed at the same time from another program. So with that, essentially a normal user can manipulate etc password, turn it into an inconsistent state, and then if at the same time another SUID process, another process is trying to check etc password, they're getting a bad answer back. A proof of concept exploit has been released as a part of the advisory, so if your distribution is affected, make sure you patch it quickly. And AV Comparatives, one of the probably more well-respected test labs for security products, has tested 10 different Mac antivirus tools and, well, essentially found them all to be sort of equal. No real big difference among the tools when it comes to detecting existing samples. Now, they didn't go the extra step, and I don't think AV Comparatives usually does that, but they sort of made up some software with malicious intent to sort of simulate a Seriday like this. They just used existing malware SUSE, but here, as far as Mac malware goes, they had 105 recent samples. The detection rates were between 98% on the low end and 100% on the high end, with about half, actually more than half of the tools achieving 100%. One interesting thing is, of course, they all are also very good when it comes to Windows malware detection. Most of these tools just have one large signature file that includes Windows and Mac malware. F-Secure is sort of the one exception here. It only achieved 28% for Windows malware, which, of course, if you are really interested in Mac malware, may not necessarily be a problem. Actually, an advantage that you don't have a bloated signature file with lots of malware that you don't really care about. Intego, which is sort of more a Mac specialist anyway, also only achieved 50% for Windows malware. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks and for listening. Sorry for uploading the wrong file yesterday. Also, then the final file had a little bit of background noise. I had a kitten here under the desk that was playing around. I didn't notice how audible this actually was. So hope this one will go better. And thanks for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.